This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's Parsha Sheh, Parshas Lech Lecha. If you're listening online, please do email me at j.golkur@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. So three offerings tonight. The first is based on Rabbi Zev Leff's beautiful article in Outlooks and Insights. He says something very, very interesting. Take a look at the first box. Vayikach Avram es Sarai Ishtoi. Avram leaves his home, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha, and he goes with his wife Sarai, ve'es Loit ben Achiv, and his nephew Loit, ve'es Kol Rechusham, and he takes all their possessions, as Sherochshu, ve'es HaNefesh, Asher Osu B'choron, ve'yetz Lolechetz Eretz Kanan, ve'yavo Eretz Kanan. They head off towards Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kanan. Says Rashi, Asher Osu B'choron, famously, Shehechnison Tachas Kanfe Hashchina, that all those people that Avraham and Sarah brought under the Kanfei Shechina, into the world of Yiddishkeit, recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Megayes Hanoshim, Sarah Megayes Hanoshim, Malach Kosov, Kilo Osom, Sah Nefesh, Asher Osu B'choron, sort of they made these people, says Rashi. Now, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph says an interesting statement, which I think is quite well known. Tana Dvei Eliyahu, Sheishes Alofim Shona Hava Ha'olam. The world will last for 6,000 years. Now, bear in mind, we're in the year 5784, so we're getting towards the end date. There is a discussion if they're missing 100 and something years, or Shimon Schwab has an interesting essay, so maybe we're closer than we realize. But either way, Shnei Alofim Tohu, the first of those 6,000 years, the first 2,000 years are described as Tohu. Tohu is in the Pasuk in Bereishis, Tohu Vavohu, it's just confusion. Shnei Alofim Tohra, the next 2,000 years are the era of Tohra, and Shnei Alofim and the final 2,000 years are called the Yemos HaMoshiach, the epoch of Moshiach. Now, ask the Gemara there, Shnei Alofim Tohra Me'emas, when exactly does the 2,000 years, that period of Torah, begin? Says the Gemara, and the Gemara's got various ideas, but the conclusion of the Gemara is, Elo meve'es ha'nefesh asher osu b'choron. It begins from this pasuk, which I just read, from when Avraham and Sarah converted all these people into Yiddishkeit, into believing in one God, into monotheism, that's when the 2,000-year epoch of Torah begins. Now, interestingly, Avraham Avinu was born in Jewish years, 1948, which interestingly has significance in the secular years. But he was born in the Jewish year, 1948, which means he was 52 years old when the beginning of this period began. Now, the Rambam and the Raiva discuss how old Avraham was when he discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Raiva brings that he was 3 years old, but that's the beginning of this Raiva in the next box. But either way, there's an interesting Raiva. Take a look at the next box. Avraham, says the Raiva, and he is the premier commentator on the Rambam. He sort of comments within the text. He actually sort of makes various observations. Some of them he argues with the Rambam. But this is what he says. Avraham hoya mahalich V'koyre ashegia le'eretz Kanan. Avraham Avinu would go about his work of spreading the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Kanan. Shenem v'yikre b'shem shom b'shem Hashem kel olam. Oma Avraham, says the Raivad, v'tomo ani, I am perplexed. Shahari hoyu shom shem ve'eva. He wasn't the first one to proclaim the existence of God. There was yeshivas that predated his time. The yeshivas of Shem ve'eva. Shem was the son of Noach. How come they didn't protest against the Avodah Zorah of the time? The Efsha, ki mochim hayu, says the Raiva, perhaps those before Avraham did protest, the lo ira lahem sheshovre salmehem, but they didn't succeed in breaking the idols of the contemporary idolaters, lefisha hayu mischabeh mehem, and because they hid them. They hid them in their homes. Until Avraham Avinu came, and he was the one who actually went out and destroyed their idols, his father's idols. Yeah, as per the famous Medrash, that he put the baseball bat or the hammer or whatever into the hands of one of the idols, and he said to his father, "It wasn't me; it was this idol, etc., etc." But he actually broke his father's idols. Now, this Raivad, who asked the question, what about those who preceded Avram Avinu? And he suggests that Avram was the first one who actually was successful in breaking the idols because those before him couldn't find them. It's a difficult Raivad to understand. What is Pshat? Was it just that Avram Avinu was a better detective than those before him? And moreover, what does the Raivad mean that they hid their idols, Nimrod and others, publicly worshipped their idols? And Avram's father manufactured them. So what does it mean that those who came before Avram, they couldn't find them, and it was only Avram who was able to discover them? Yes, it says that's what the Raivad says, that Avram, he asks, what about the people before Avram Avinu? Shem ve'eva were before Avram Avinu, and they were running yeshiva. Did they not protest against the prevalent idolatry of the time? And says the Raivad, well, I'm sure they did, but they weren't very successful because they couldn't find the idols. What does that mean? So, in order to understand these questions, we have to understand the origins of idolatry and what exactly that period of Tohu Vavohu, which is the first 2,000 years of the world's existence, what exactly does that mean? So there's a famous Rambam, it's the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it's the first perek, which he goes into quite detail, but I've just extracted a few lines. Says the Rambam there, what were the origins of Avodah Zarah? So, Bimei Enosh, in the times of Enosh, Ta'u Bnei Ha'odam Ta'os God, people made a huge mistake. Omru, they said, Hoyel v'hoyelukim barakei chavim elu, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately created the stars and the whole solar system, lahaniges ha'olam, to run the world, v'nosnam b'marom, and he puts them up in the stratosphere, v'cholak lohem kovod, and he gives them kovod, honor, v'heim shamoshim ha'meshamshim lefonov, and they are servants, as it were, attendants to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Royu Heim Leshabchom. It's appropriate to honor them in the same way that you would honor the attendant of the king and the minister of the king. So you honor the stars and the solar system as well. Lefarim Lechalak Lem Kovod. Vizeo Rotzon HaKel Baruch Hu. And that is really the Rotzon Hashem. That's the desire of God. Legadah Lechabit Misha God Levakovdei. Kamoy Shemahalech. Sorry, Shemelech Reitz Lechabit Ha'imdim Lefonov. Vizeo Kvoid Shel Melech. Kimin Shalodov Vizeo Alibom. And that really was the mistake of the Dor of Enosh, the next generation after Shem Chom V'Yavetz, I think it was. And therefore, they confusingly thought it's important to honor the emissaries, the attendants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, as the generations went further and further, they sort of cut HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture and just worshipped the stars and the moons directly. That's how the Rambam explains the origins of idolatry. Now, we know that the Torah enables us to separate good and evil with absolute truth. The Pasuk says in Netzavim, "Re'ein osati lefonecha hayom es hachayim ves hatoiv ves hamoves ves hora." Torah is the moral barometer of our lives and of the world. There are absolute truths in the world. There is good, there is bad, there is evil, there is chayim. The Baal Shem Tov says that the Satan will not be culpable for enticing man to do aveiras, because after all, that is his job, but he will be culpable for making an aveira appear as a mitzvah. And that's exactly what Tohu Vavohu is. Tohu Vavohu is one big confusion. The idol worshippers of Avraham Avinu's generation created ideologies and they hid the idols, that means not physically, but spiritually. In other words, there was confusion. There was mixture. There was, what exactly is this? This is a sun, this is a star, this is a moon. It's an attendant of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's okay to serve it. There's confusion. There's false ideologies. Only Avraham Avinu was able to expose these false ideologies as a sham. And therefore, that's why Avraham separated from Lot. Because Lot, if you think about it, was the paradigm of Tohu Vavohu. He was one big confusing mix. Because on one hand, Lot, first of all, he looked like Avraham. Yeah, the Pasuk says, Ki anoshim achim anachnu. We're brothers. And Rashi brings the Medrash, Domim beklast upon him. They look the same. That's number one. But more confusingly about Lot, on one hand, he was a terrific person. You know, the chesed that he did under the pressure of being in Sodom, which was an anti-chesed environment, was tremendous mesiras nefesh. To stand outside waiting for guests, he baked matzahs, but his chesed was very, very confused. When they came knocking on his door and he offered his daughters to the rabble outside, that's because he had a very confusing chesed. So if you think about it, Lot was tohu vavohu. So what the Ravid means when he says that they hid their idols, that means that there was confusion, not physically that they hid them, but spiritually that they hid them because there was confusion. Only Avraham was able to expose the sham and to explain with absolute clarity that there is absolute truth in the world, and that is what the Torah is. It's interesting, of all the non-kosher animals, what's the paradigm of treif? The chazir, the pig. Now, there are animals which are more treif than the pig, because they're you need two simonim. The chazir, the pig, actually does have one of the two kosher simonim. He has cloven feet. But yet, the chazir, the pig, symbolizes treif because of all the sort of the most dangerous ideologies are garbed in an aura of piety. So the pig stands there and, look, I've got cloven feet. So he pretends there's this facade that actually, I'm okay, but we know it's certainly not. But that's real treif, as it were, because there's a pretense, there's confusion, there's tohu vavohu. So says Rabbi Lev, that is what the Ravid means. When the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the world is split into three epochs, the first is tohu vavohu, the next is Torah, and the next is Moshiach, what does the Ravid mean when he says that only Avram was able to find their idols? There were people who were great people before Avraham Avinu. Could they not expose it? What it means is that it wasn't detective work. It was just confusion. And Avraham Avinu was able to expose the sham of idolatry of the times by saying that there is clarity, there is absolute truth, there is light in this world. That's really what the Pasuk in the Tzavim is saying. There is absolute truth. And that's really what Avraham Avinu was able to achieve that others before him were not able to achieve. So a very, very interesting idea of Rabbi Lev. Okay, let's press on. So, beautiful Pasuk. My wife, one of her favorite Pasukim, says the Pasuk, Vayotze Osei Hachutza. So Avraham Avinu is unable to have children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him outside. Rashi explains what that means, different shotim. Vayoyman, he says to him, Habeidnu Hashamayim, look at the heavens, Usfar HaKechavim, and count the stars of the heavens, Im Tuchol Lispar Esom, if you can even count them. Vayoyman lo, Ko Yezarecho, so too will be your children. Posh Pshat, they'll be as numerous as the stars in the heaven. Vehemin Bashem Echshevelo Tztoko. Okay, now, Pirush Rashi, says the Ramban, Pirush Rashi, the Rashi explains, what does it mean, Vehem in Bashem, Vayech Sheveh Lo Tzedaka? It's not clear who reckoned it as a tzedaka, as a wonderful thing. Pirush Rashi explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Choshev Loi Tzedaka V'zuchus Alaymona Shehem in Boi. I.e., HaKadosh Baruch Hu reckoned, he counted, that Avraham's belief in him, that he's going to have children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well done Avraham. That, he reckoned it as a tzedaka. So pshat in the Pasuk according to Rashi is, Vehem in Bashem, Avraham Avinu believed in Hashem, i.e. when he said, Ko Yezarecha, you're going to have children, you're 99 years old, Sarah is 10 years younger than you, you've lived many, many decades, you haven't had children yet, I promise you're going to have children as numerous as the stars in heaven. Vehem in Bashem, he believed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayachshevei Lo Tzedaka, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reckoned it as a tzedaka, a very wonderful thing, that Avraham had that emunah in him. Says the Ramban, Ve'eni Meivin Mazuchus Hazois. I don't get that. I don't get that. Lama Loi Yamin Beloke Amen. Quoting a pasuk. Why would Avraham Avinu not believe in Hashem? I mean, the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to him. He's making a promise. This is not some sort of a mystic meg on some pier in some seaside resort. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam talking. Umi Shehem in Lishchet Espenoi HaYochit HaOhov. When he believes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shecht his own beloved son at the Akedah, Veshar HaNisyonis, and all the other challenges and trials that Avraham had, So when it came to a promise that he's going to have children, why would he not believe him? What's the chashivas of it? No, this is before the Akedah. Sure, because he wasn't yet born, Yitzchak. Yes. What it means is this, that Avraham Avinu had emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him various things, he believed it. So says the Ramban, when it says in the Pasuk, Vayachshevelo Stoka, that Avraham believed in Hashem, and Hashem was very proud of Avraham, he considers it a very noteworthy level that Avraham has reached. Well, what's the big deal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised him children. Why wouldn't he believe him? He believes him in so many other things. He believes him in even, okay, albeit some years later, to take his son and shecht him. He believes him in that. He believes him in all the other nisyonos. So why wouldn't he believe him in a basura tova, on some good tidings? That's the Ramban's question. So I heard once from Rahman a very interesting answer to this. The Rav Simcha Zissel Broida was the Chevron Rosh Hashiva. And he defends Rashi's approach from the attack of the Ramban. I'll give you a moshel. Imagine, wind back a few years. Imagine I had the opportunity to go and sit and learn with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And he says, okay, look, I daven at Nates, I have a breakfast, and my seder goes from 7 till Mincha Gedolah, 1:15 or whatever. So we'll learn from 7 till 1, 6 hours. Now, I would struggle. 6 hours straight. I mean, as joyous as it would be, and as a tremendous zechus it would be to sit and learn the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but 6 hours, I would struggle, because after half an hour now, I'd probably get itchy. After an hour and a half, I'd probably want a coffee. And, as enjoyable as the opportunity would be, it would not be. Who gets more schar? Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who can sit there endlessly, or me, who gets fidgety after 5 minutes? So you would imagine, it's a bigger challenge for me, and therefore I get more schar, but for him it's quite easy. Says Reb Simcha Zissel something interesting. If you work on yourself to achieve a high level, you don't forego the reward of everything below that level. You still get the schar, even if it's now easy. So you see, Reb Chaim Kanievsky will get schar for sitting there for endless hours because he trained himself, he worked on himself another 5 minutes. I'm not going to speak for the first 10 minutes of Seder. And then eventually it becomes quite normal and easy for him. So if you work on yourself to achieve a high level, you get the reward even if it's now easy. Says Reb Simcha Zissel Broida, that's Pshat in Rashi. Believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those days wasn't so easy. But Avraham Avinu worked on himself. He developed his emunah. And therefore, when it says, v'yachshvelot stoka, v'hemin b'ashem v'yachshvelot stoka, he gets the reward, even if it's now easy for him, but you get the reward because he worked on himself to achieve that high level. He doesn't just forego, he doesn't just, just lose out because he worked on himself. It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense. It's very mistaba. So that's how Reb Simcha Zissel says that the Rashi would defend himself from the kasha of the Ramban. Okay, let's press on. One final idea. Vayikach Avram es Yishmael b'noi. He takes his son Yishmael. This is at the end of the parasha. V'es kol zoch banche beis Avram, and he takes his whole all the males in the household. Vayomel es p'sar losom, and there's a bris mila. Be'etzem hayom azeh, on that very day, kasha dibe itoy elokim. Now, the words Be'etzem Hayom Azeh. Avraham Avinu gives Mila to Yishmael and to the males in the house. Be'etzem Hayom Azeh. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Be'etzem Hayom Azeh. Bo Bayom Shenitztava. The day in which he was commanded, that day. Be'yoyim Velo Belaila. Not in the nighttime, that day. Lo Nisyari Lo Menagoyim Velo Halitzonim. He wasn't put off or scared from the Gentiles or from those who mocked or scoffed at him. V'shelo Hayo'ovov. So that the enemies and those the generation would say, had we seen him, we wouldn't have allowed him to do bris milah on his son. So Be'etzem Hayom Azeh says, im kol zeh, he went ahead and did it. Now it's interesting because the words Be'etzem Hayom Azeh appear on three other occasions, and Rashi in Parshas Hazinu a few weeks ago, seems like a lifetime ago, says something notable on each three occasions. Let's take a look. Take a look at the last box on the page. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh le'emor. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's last day in the world. He's 120 years old. And again, very poignant psukim. Ale el har nevoi, go up to Har Nevoi, where he's going to be buried. Be'eretz Moav. Ure'e etz Eretz Kanaan, ashali nosin ibnei Yisrael la'achuzo. And go take a look at Eretz Kanaan. Umeis bahar asher ata oile shama. And you're going to die on this mountain. Ve'yosef el amecho, kashem meis aranochicha, bahar ahar, ve'yosef el amov. And Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Now, again, it says in the pasuk, "Va'idaber Hashem el Moshe be'etzem hayoyim hazeh." On that very day, says Rashi, "B'shloisha mekaymus ne'emra be'etzem hayoyim hazeh." On three occasions, it says the words "be'etzem hayoyim hazeh." Ne'emra b'noyach in last week's sedra, "be'etzem hayoyim hazeh b'noyach." What does that mean? Says Rashi, "B'maris oirish elyoyim in the daylight." Because for 120 years Noach was building a teva, and the generation were telling Noach, boy, if we sense that it's going to start raining, we're not going to allow him to go into the teva. We're going to destroy it. We'll take sledgehammers and we're going to destroy the teva. Really? I'm telling you now the time, the date, the place that it's going to happen. You want to protest? Come protest. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them plenty of notice. This is when it's going to happen. Midday, on this day, you come and want, you want to protest? You protest. That's the first Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. The second one, B'Mitzrayim, says Rashi, Ne'emar in Shmos Yudbeis, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Hoitzi Hashem. He took them out of Mitzrayim. Lufi, what does it mean? Be'etz hayim hazeh. Shohi Mitzriyim oimrim. Bekach v'kachim onu magishin bohem. Einu manichin eselotzes. We sense that you're getting ready to leave Mitzrayim, we're not going to let you go. V'lo oid. Ela onu noitlin siyofas v'chlei zayin v'hargin bohem. We're going to kill them. Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu, really? Harini mitziyin b'chatzi hayom. We're going to take them out at midday. V'chol sheyemish yesh b'kach limchay siyovah v'yimchay. You want to protest? You protest. That's the second one. And the third one is the one we just mentioned. B'misosah shel Moshe, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Be'etzem hayom hazeh, l'fi shehu Yisrael lo'imrim b'kach v'kach, im onu magishim bo'i. If we sense that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, Adam Shetzim Mitzrayim, the person who took us out of Mitzrayim, the Koralonos Hayom, and he split the sea for us, for Hirid Lonos Hamon, and he gave us the Mon, for Higiz Lonos Haslov, and the Slav, etc., for Her Lonos Haba'er, for Noson Lonos HaTorah, this great Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Onu Manichin Oysen, we're not going to allow him. Mepharshim, by the way, discuss how are you going to stop him being killed? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the Neshama. So they say that they won't allow him to go on the mountain, or whatever the explanation is. I'm going to take him to this mountain in the middle of the day. You try and stop me. The question is this. We've seen that there are three Be'etzem Hayom Hazehs in Parshas Hazino that Rashi refers to. With Noach, with Mitzrayim, and with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And on each time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, yeah, try me. I'm telling you, I'm giving you the postcode, the details, the time. You want to protest, you protest. The question is, why doesn't Rashi cite a fourth example from our pasuk, i.e., "Vayikach Avram es Yishmael b'noi be'etzem hayoyim hazeh" on that day? And Rashi says that you shouldn't be worried from the goyim and it's on him that we're going to stop him. Why doesn't Rashi bring? There are only four in the Torah. Why does Rashi bring the three and not that fourth one from this week's sedra? Good kasha. So this is what I heard. I heard the kasha from Rabbi Hartman, and he said something very interesting. It's a poshut answer. Avram Avinu was instructed on that day, and he had to do it immediately. Vayikach Avram es Yishmael b'noi, vayomol es pesar olosam. And as Rashi says, bo bayom shenitzaveh. That day he was commanded. He had to do it immediately. Therefore, there was no chance for anyone to stop him. The other three occasions, there was much more notice. And therefore, in the case of Noach, the Bnei Dor of Noach could have protested well in advance. Mitzrayim, well in advance. The death of Moshe, well in advance. They were given lots of notice. So therefore, there was a very real possibility that the Bnei Dora were going to protest, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, try me, Be'etz HaMayim HaZeh. But with this occasion, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avraham is going to do Bris Milah, he was commanded that day, do it today. And therefore, there wasn't really an opportunity for anyone to stop him. Aye, so what does Rashi mean? So what does Rashi mean? Lo nisyari, lo menagoyim, v'lo menagoyim. So you've got to say that even if there would have been time, still Avraham wouldn't have been scared to do it, and he would have ignored any attempts to prevent him. That's what you've got to say in Rashi. So that's why Rashi in Hazinu brings those three occasions of Noach and Mitzrayim and of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, but does not bring this fourth occasion because it's different. Because Avraham Avinu was instructed on that day and he had to do it immediately. What does Rashi mean about Shelohi, Ovim, Benedura, Omrim, etc.? He means that even if there would have been notice, still Avraham wouldn't have been scared to do it and he would have ignored any attempts to prevent him. That's Pshat. Okay, so three interesting ideas. The first idea we said was Rabbi Lef, what was Pshat in the Raivat? That there are three epochs in world history, 2,000 years of Tohu Vavohu, 2,000 years of Torah, 2,000 years of Moshiach. Says the Raivat that I don't understand. Before Avraham Avinu, no one tried to stop Avodah Zarah. He explains, they couldn't find it. What does that mean? Avraham's a better detective. And they were all doing it discreetly and privately. Nimrod was publicly worshipping his idols. Terach was manufacturing them. What's Pshat? Explains Rabbi Lev that based on the origins of Avodah Zarah, that it was sort of crept in with a confusing fashion, that Avraham Avinu was able to sort of expose the sham of Avodah Zarah. And not from a physical sense, they weren't hid physically, but sort of spiritually there was confusion. And he was able to expose that sham. And like I said, that's why the Chazir is the symbol of Treif, because there's a confusion, it's sort of a dangerous ideology garbed in an aura of piety. Then we had the idea of Avram's reward, for him in Bashem Vayach Sheveh Lo Tzedakah. Says Rashi, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted it as a tzedakah, as a zchus, as a merit for Avraham. Asked the Ramban, but why wouldn't he believe him? He believed him on things much harder than that. Teretz is that if you work on yourself to achieve a high level, you get reward even though it's now quite easy for you. And then lastly, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in this week's Sedra, that he did it straight away, he wasn't scared of any criticism or resistance. Why doesn't Rashi bring this as a fourth example? He brings three examples from Parshas Hazinu. The difference is because Avraham was instructed to do it that day immediately and there wasn't a chance for anyone to stop him, etc. Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you for coming.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.